You're listening to Lake Effect on 89.7 WUWM. I'm Joy Powers. During the Great Depression, President Franklin Roosevelt's New Deal sought to ease the pain of many Americans and put them back to work. His Works Progress Administration employed millions of Americans to rebuild essential infrastructure like parks, roads, and housing. But the vast majority of these jobs went to unskilled men, and most opportunities for women required an education. Here in Milwaukee, a local program worked to change that. The Milwaukee Handicrafts Project hired unskilled women to, among other things, mend textbooks, build furniture, and sew dolls. Matthew Prigge wrote about the program for this month's Milwaukee Magazine, and he joins me now to talk about it. Matthew, thank you so much for joining us here on Lake Effect.
Oh, thank you for having me.
It was really interesting reading your piece because it illuminates a part of our history that is often overlooked, specifically the conditions for women during the Great Depression, which was vastly different than the conditions for men. If you were a woman looking for work at that time, what was your lot in life?
Obviously, the work situation all over was very hard. And specifically in relief efforts, the New Deal brought in by FDR, if you were a woman trying to find, if you'd lost your job or if someone in the household had lost their job and you needed to find work in this program that was designed to put people back to work, you had a pretty narrow path to finding something. They were, for the most part, only taking women who worked in what they would call the skilled trades, nursing, teaching, things like that. Those are the two big categories. And if you were somebody who had previously done labor work, worked with your hands, or if you're somebody who was trying to get into the workplace for the first time, you really didn't have a lot of options as it was initially set up.
Yeah, it seemed like there were options for men who mostly did this kind of labor. But when it came to women, as you say, there were few options. Until, of course, here in Milwaukee, the Milwaukee Handicrafts Project. What was the impetus for that?
Well, as I was saying, with these New Deal jobs, they were limited to one per household. And men always had the preference in getting these. So if there were households led by women, specifically unskilled women, for the most part, they had to stay on the local, called them the relief rolls, what we think of as welfare today. And the original idea for this was just to kind of help Milwaukee County out in removing some of these people from their relief roles. So the local WPA administrators put a woman named Harriet Clinton, who had been kind of a groundbreaker in her own right. She graduated from journalism school from Columbia University. She'd worked as a reporter in Milwaukee when that was still a pretty rare thing for a woman to work in the newspaper business. They put her in charge of creating a program that could qualify for WPA funds, but target these, and again, what they would have called the unskilled women, just to basically shift the burden of having to pay relief to these women from the local government to the federal government.
When we say unskilled, I think some people might think of what we consider maybe less skilled labor today, but a lot of these women didn't speak English necessarily, and beyond that, even those who did speak English were often illiterate.
Right. Yeah, when I'm using unskilled, I'm using it in the terminology of the time, which, again, for women basically meant that you didn't have training as a nurse or a teacher or one of those profession like that. But when they got this project working, they realized that a lot of the women who had come there for work were actually women who had, as you said, never worked before outside the household. A lot of these women came from conditions that were very impoverished, so even using more familiar tools like scissors, they weren't very familiar with. A lot of them were undernourished. In fact, one of the first hires, one of the first staff hires in this project was to bring a nurse on board, because a lot of these women were in poor health or even hadn't been eating enough. So it was really a sect of Milwaukee that, if not for this project, probably would have never been brought on board for any kind of WPA work like this.
Yeah. the project itself was a little unclear at first. You know, they had ideas for what these women would be doing, but it seemed like to some extent, to put it, you know, in today's terms, like busy work. But eventually, it does evolve into a lot of diverse kind of crafts that really contributed a lot. So what were the different things these women made through this project?
Right. Yeah, it started out, just to get back to the point you mentioned about this, you know, busy work or make work. The original idea was similar to a lot of the New Deal projects through the Works Progress Administration, the WPA, was just to give people something to do. You know, the idea, the adage that you pay one person to dig a hole and you pay another one to fill it back in. The original idea was pretty basic, just to make scrapbooks for county institutions, hospitals, orphanages, things like that, just to give people something colorful to look at. And Harriet Clinton, who was in charge of this, she reached out to a colleague of hers named Elsa Ulbricht, who was an art teacher in Milwaukee, and she dismissed this idea. She wanted this to be actually, you know, what we call useful work, building things that were more advanced than, you know, just pasting photos in an album. And she was the one who really drove the, you know, the more artistic end of this. As you mentioned, they ended up doing very wide variety of different projects. They ended up having 11 different units that were, each unit was tasked with doing a different craft. There was a bookbinding unit, there was a doll making unit, a toy making unit, a furniture making unit. Eventually, they really branched out from this original idea of just giving these women something to do. And each of these units had a local artisan or teacher put in charge of it, who would design the projects, who would basically teach these women how to make this stuff. And they ended up building some really beautiful materials that lasted, you know, some of them are still in use today.
They made a lot of these things as well out of, it seemed like, found objects.
Yeah, this was a very resourceful project. The federal government basically took care of everyone's paychecks, and that was it. They needed to be self-sustaining on everything, materials and everything like that. So they were allowed to sell some of this stuff, but they could only sell it to tax-supported institutions, and they could only sell it at the cost of their products. So to get started, they had to use a lot of found materials for their sewing unit. When that first got going, they were actually they got a big supply of surplus burlap from the government and unwound the burlap to use the actual individual threads from that for sewing. Local companies that had excess materials would donate them. You know, even the bookbinding unit, they would make collections of magazine articles and bind them for local institutions. That was stuff that was just, you know, basically taken right out of the garbage.
Yeah. The Milwaukee Handicrafts Project was actually one of the few integrated programs in the WPA. How did that come to be?
You know, the WPA itself was, it was supposed to be, the Roosevelt administration insisted that there be no discrimination in it, but a lot of that, you know, the actual implementation of that was left to local administrators, and the thinking among people in that position at the time generally, which, I mean, we can see today that this is pretty nakedly racist, but their thinking was that African Americans had a lower standard of living and were therefore, you know, less in need of this kind of relief. So that led to obviously a lot of discrimination within trying to dole these jobs out. But again, Elsa Ulbricht, who was at the head of this, she rejected that idea. There were actually about a few hundred, and onset there were a few hundred African American women who were assigned to the project, but they were assigned to an alternative work site aside from the main one. And when she found out about that, she had them all, she wanted everybody to work in the same place. She didn't want this to be segregated in any way. And that was, you know, it was really through her will that allowed that to happen. And again, that was a fairly integrated WPA projects were pretty rare.
Hmm. So the project itself starts to break apart around the start of World War II. And you see this shop go down and down and down until the project eventually ends. That being said, what do we see as the legacy of the Milwaukee Handicrafts project today?
Well, I think the legacy, the most visible legacy, I guess you could say today, is the things that they made. The photography in the piece that's in Milwaukee Magazine this month, those were all items that came from the UWM Archives Department. They have the Ulbricht papers there. And a lot of the artwork that survives is there. So it's in these institutions. The doll making unit that they had, those are still around today. Those are among doll collectors very prized. The furniture they made was still in use, possibly today, still at least as of very recently. It's kind of hard to go around and check up on these things right now, but I know at the public library downtown, they still had furniture that they made. The high school in Shorewood, I believe, also had some furniture that they made. But I'd say that the real legacy of this was in the 5,000 plus women who found work there, who were able to make a better living for their household. A lot of the women who worked on the project ended up finding better jobs. I don't know if I call it a complaint, but one of the issues that the administrators had in running this was that they had such high turnover among their workforce because other WPA projects, they found out that, you know, the women who came from the handicrafts project really knew what they were doing. They were very skilled. So a lot of them got better paying jobs elsewhere within these New Deal jobs. A lot of them got jobs in the private sector. So I think that is, it's a little harder to measure than what you'll find in the archives or in a furniture in a library today. But that's 5,000 people who were able to better themselves through this project.
All right. Well, Matthew Prigge, thank you so much for joining us here on Lake Effect and sharing your work.
Oh, thanks for having me. It's always a thrill.
Matthew Prigge is a writer whose article on the Milwaukee Handicrafts Project was featured in this month's Milwaukee Magazine.